to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab, and today on Activate Yourself, we have, again, in my run of having more amazing men guests, male guests, because I always have phenomenal women, and I ended up, like, it got a little bit discriminatory, I have to say. So what I'm doing is really overlapping on the other side of having men on. I find that men don't get as much of an opportunity to talk about the things that have changed their lives. And women talk about this sort of thing all the time. They talk about it quite comfortably, quite easily. And yet these momentous things that happen to us, they happen to us as men, they happen to us as women. They're things that are always happening to us because we're human. And so today's guest is another one of these really interesting, amazing men that has changed his life and then changed it again. Because success, as we found out over the last couple of years, is so different. And it just isn't what we thought it was going to be. It is something that's completely changed for so many of us. So people that were ahead of the curve are people that are good people to listen to. As always, I try and bring on the show people that have lived lives and changed lives and changed who they are, what they're doing. They kind of activated themselves, because I think that when bad things happen, we feel isolated and picked on and we feel targeted, and that this bad thing just happened to us. As somebody who a lot of bad shit happened to, I want to point out to you that that is not true. Often that the bad things happen to us because something good was chasing us and couldn't quite get its way through. So I would like you to welcome my guest today, Eric Twiggs. Eric, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's truly an honor to be on your show today.
Oh, it's so fantastic. And again, as I said, I was getting to the stage where I was talking to all these amazing women and I was not talking to enough amazing men. So you're deeply welcome in your maleness and talking about the things that activated you. Why you speak a lot about, you started the What Now movement, right? Which I kind of love. Because what you're talking about is procrastination, what to do with procrastination, how to change your life, and also kind of that thing that I love, which is how you deal with life's curveballs. So why, and also, can I introduce you to my teenagers? Because that would be really fun. I'd really like to do that if that's okay. I was looking at this whole procrastination thing thinking, that I was saying to you before we came on the show, there's something that's distracting me. I can't remember. And I know I was like prostrate. Please, please, can you meet my teenagers? Come on. What is procrastination? Let's start with this. What is procrastination? Why? I never procrastinate. I don't understand it. Why do people procrastinate? So, well, unless I have to pick up the phone, and I won't do it. I don't procrastinate. I hate the telephone.
Well, so the fundamental definition of procrastination is delaying the things for tomorrow that should be done today. There's certain things that we should be doing now. And the root cause of procrastination is discomfort. There's something at the root that you're not comfortable with if you're procrastinating on something. So for example, it could be as simple as task aversion. It could be as simple as, I just don't like doing the task. I just don't like doing my taxes. I just don't like cleaning out the garage. So it could be that simple, or it could be something like fear, which tends to be a leading cause of procrastination.
Yeah.
Your success, failure, or the unknown. But the key is really understanding what it is that's causing you to procrastinate and taking the necessary actions to move forward.
I love that. So basically, we're saying that you don't do the thing because you either don't want to do the thing or you're afraid of the thing.
Well, it's more complicated than that. I mean, those are just a couple of examples.
But you've got 12 principles actually to overcome procrastination.
Well,
right?
Practical principles to overcome procrastination. But the fundamental theme of the book is awareness. And like I talk to people that say, Eric, I always procrastinate. And that's not the case, right? I have yet to meet someone, and I've done over 28,000 plus coaching sessions, I have yet to come across someone who procrastinates in each and every area of their life. Now, what I do run into is I run into people who are on point when it comes to work or their business, but then when they get home, they put things off. Or I run into people who their house runs like clockwork. They don't procrastinate on anything. But when they get to work, they start hesitating when it comes to certain things. So the key is awareness and paying attention to what's happening and what's causing you to procrastinate.
It's true, because fear is one of those things that just freezes you, isn't it? Because I spend a lot of time talking to women, successful, very successful women, who are really great at work, but not really good at their personal lives. It's similar to what you're saying. They've ended up focused in on one thing and become exceptionally good at it. But then also by the time you come home, you're exhausted. Is that still procrastination? I'm like, I need a wife, right? I'm not sure it's procrastinating that I haven't achieved that yet, but I feel like it would improve my life no end. Is that procrastination? Is that exhaustion?
It could be, because one of the things I talk about in the book is the relation to energy and managing your energy and getting things done.
Oh, I like that.
So for me, I'm not, and my wife would agree to this. I'm just saying, I'm just going to put this out here. I'm not as on it when it comes to household tasks. I'm working to get better. I'm aware of it. But some of the challenge with me is when my day is done, you know, my energy cycle is at a low point.
Yeah.
So I really have to be very intentional when I get back into the home space. Because if I'm not, it'll be easy for me to procrastinate.
Okay, say more about that, because that is my audience. The people who are working so hard at work, but because they're women, they have to come home and run the house too. I mean, and we're not being sexist here, because when I'm being sexist, I really cop to that. I'm happy to own up to being sexist when I am. But this one is just women do more of the work at home, right? So what did you mean about being intentional about what they do at home?
Well, I just think you have to have a plan for that, because home is important too, right? And a lot of times, if you're a hard-charging type A person, I can just say from my standpoint, it's very easy to, when I get home, I'm in recovery mode, right? I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to rest so I can have more energy for the next thing, where that doesn't work when you have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old, for example. They want your attention. They have homework that needs to be checked. So you have to be conscious of your energy. And I would say you really have to monitor your sleep, for example. You know, do you have an exercise routine?
Yeah.
Are you working in recovery into your day, so that when in the evening, that's one of the things that's helped me, is just being more conscious of my energy and working in recovery throughout the day.
I love that. How do you do that?
So a couple of things. I monitor how much sleep I'm getting.
Yeah. Right?
I have the fitness watch that tells me the quality of the sleep, tells me how long I'm sleeping. And I make sure I work out first thing in the morning. I take naps. I'm like a big time nap. I schedule in naps throughout the day, so that when I get into the evening, now my energy isn't just, you know,
crashing
in the valley like it used to be. So now I have more energy to spend time with family. But you have to understand that I think the takeaway for anybody that's an entrepreneur, especially the male entrepreneurs, and we just assume that the wife is supposed to do certain things, but it's the wife is working too, right?
Yeah, that ship really sailed, bro, like 50 years ago.
Right. So for a lot of men, it's Miller time at the end of the day, right? Oh, it's Miller time, I can kick back. For a lot of the females, it's halftime. Right. Okay. This is done, but now I've got to get the kids straight. But and it shouldn't just fall on one person. So I think that it's about awareness and really managing your energy.
So two things I like that you just said are, one, that it's halftime. Again, not being a guy, I haven't quite thought of it like that, but I really like that analogy. The analogy where you say to somebody, actually, now it's halftime. Here's the rest of it. I'm going to use that. I think that's deeply clever. And the second thing is building in recovery time. I hate you because I cannot nap. And I really dislike you immensely. I would like to, it annoys me. Absolutely brainless. And it must be a guy thing. I don't know about women who can nap. Please tell me. I look at a guy who will lie down there or put his head on his thing and nap for 10 minutes. What's that all about? What is wrong with you people? Who can do that? It's so wrong. But I like that you build in the recovery time, because my version of that is that I need to kind of go and just switch my brain off or stare at a plant or go for a walk and get some fresh air. So I like that. Those two together, I think, are really phenomenal ideas. They're game changers.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, the nap window is 20 to 30 minutes.
We're still talking about the nap.
We're still talking about the nap. That's how much I like it. You know, it's 20 to 30 minutes and it gives me a sense. So the challenge I have too is, like, I do a podcast, a 30-minute hour, and we do it in the evening. And I have to be careful because I'm a morning person. So quite often I've been up since 4 a.m. and the podcast starts at 6 p.m. And I don't want to show up with low energy. So that's another reason why it's so important to manage your energy and be aware.
Yeah, no, I actually really like that. That's a very clever idea. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want you to talk to me about the things that you teach, because I love those two ideas. I think they really, really worked. And clearly I intend to steal them. And they're not going to work on the teenagers. So you're going to give me more practical. We'll be back in a minute.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. So tell me, how do you, as a non-procrastinator, how do I help people who do procrastinate? I'm not mentioning my teenagers again, but, you know, hey, how do you do that? What do you do with people that procrastinate, who work for you or live with you or love you or are part of your family?
Well, so let's start if I'm working with someone and they're saying that they're a procrastinator.
You know, they never say that. They just say, oh, I can't quite get to that yet.
Well, no, I have a lot of people that say I always procrastinate, or I like to start with people at a very basic level and just kind of just things that I see that helps. Like one of the things that helps a lot of people is getting in the habit of making appointments with yourself. So a lot of people say, I'm going to start my podcast. I'm going to start the podcast and I'm going to start that whole thing. And then Friday at 5 o'clock comes around, they haven't started anything. So instead of saying, I'm going to start the podcast, you make an appointment with yourself. You say, on Tuesday at 1 o'clock in my office, I am going to take the next step to move this podcast forward.
Right.
Right. So you put it on your calendar, you get a reminder, and you don't break the appointment under any circumstances. So there's people around you, if it's your employees, if it's other family members, everybody knows that you're not to be disturbed during that time period. And it's very important to set the time and the place. Because if you set the place, studies show you're 40% more likely to do it. So for me,
all right,
just that one habit of just getting in, you know, putting anything that's important needs to be on your calendar, because that's a priority. So when people say, oh, I didn't have time to do it, I didn't get around to do it, it just wasn't a priority. Because if it's a priority, you'll find a way to make it happen. Same thing with family related items. You know, if it's spending time with the kids, if it's, okay, we're going to do daddy-daughter day on Saturday at 2 o'clock. That's a non-negotiable appointment. So I like to start with just basic practical tools that people can use and implement and start to see results. And then we start digging deeper.
So you can do this and create this change with people that haven't. So somebody can come to you and go, I need to stop procrastinating, and you can help them. But it's much harder to do it with a third party. Is that right? Who's not saying, but you say you're struggling with you know, like a team member or someone. Can you help them to not procrastinate? Or is it just that we'd have to just find them a coach or something like you?
Yeah. So what do you mean? Like if you have somebody, when you say a third party, like let's say.
Like as opposed to me coming to you and going, help me. I come to you and I go, I want to help that person not procrastinate.
Okay. So in that case, we need to figure out what specifically are they procrastinating on? Like what is the, yeah, because it's context, right? So I would need to know what specifically is it? Is it doing their homework? You know, like my kids? Is it?
Mine are older. It's like, it's getting work and leaving home. No, and I'm not trying to, poor babies. They're not all ready to leave home yet. So I'm just here pulling their legs. But is it, so you're saying that you would have the conversation and say, okay, this person can't do this. And then try and drill down to why they're struggling to do that. Is that right?
Yeah, because unfortunately there's no like one size fits all answer. Right. Yeah. It really depends on that individual. And so, yeah, I would try to have a conversation. So if you brought to my attention a third party person, hey, this person is struggling, they're procrastinating. I would really try to ask you a lot of questions to get as specific as possible as when, yeah, I want to see the pattern, you know, when are they always procrastinating? And then we can start to generate some ideas.
So why did you go down this road? What was it that made you think about this and behave and act and you know, help people with this? Why did you do that?
For me, it started in college. It was my senior year at Hampton University, and I'm having this conversation with a good friend of mine named Donnell. And I have to confess, in those days, he and I were a little different. And he was all about his purpose, and I was all about the party. he would always give me a hard time. Oh, Eric, man, you need to really figure out what you want to do and stop wasting so much time and this and that. And I'm like, man, Donnell, loosen up. We have plenty of time for all of that. Are you coming to the frat party with me or not? And so several weeks go by, I don't talk to him. But then I get a phone call from his mother telling me that he was killed in a car accident. Changed everything for me. Sent me a message that maybe I don't have as much time as I think to do the things that I want to do. And that's really when I started focusing on how I'm spending time, overcoming procrastination, and being as productive as possible. That was the starting point. That's really the signature experience that's why you and I are talking right now.
Yeah, no shit. That would totally do it for you. Yeah. It's actually a very interesting thing to happen when you're so young. How old were you when that happened?
So what, I was in my 21?
Yeah, my actually, interestingly enough, my 21-year-old daughter's best friend died a year ago. Mm. And it is, you know, watching her was a really, watching her having to manage and to cope with this level of grief with somebody that we've all known since she was 4 years old was a very difficult experience. And it does kind of, she will never be the same person again. So I can see how that would completely change who you are completely. It was very tragic. But you also then, as I understand it, became very successful. And then it took you to another step, right?
So, yeah, I thought the message from that experience was I need to climb this corporate ladder. I need to
rapidly
make money. I need to get my income right because time is short, right? I thought that was the message. And I got to the point where it appeared that I had accomplished that, right? I was a district manager in automotive service. I had 17 locations. I had 500 employees working for me. I'm still a fairly young guy at the time, winning these awards. I'm driving my BMW. Everything's going great.
You're like, I have arrived. Parents are happy.
Right. Everybody's patting me on the back. But I remember this like it was yesterday. I'm driving my car and I pull up to the stoplight. I just happen to look in the rearview mirror, and the eyes that were looking back at me were the eyes of someone who hated what he was doing.
Ooh, that's difficult.
And it sent me a message that sometimes impact is more important than income.
So hang on, let me stop you there a moment. It's very interesting to be in a position where you're successful and hate what you do, because it doesn't garner you a heck of a lot of sympathy, does it?
Not at all.
You're kind of none. Like, yeah, shut up and get on with it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, a lot of people, what? You're doing what? Why?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, pull the other violin out because we're really sorry for you.
Right, yeah. Yeah. But
did you find that anybody cared that you hated it?
A few. A few people. And, you know, and so it's funny, I thought maybe I just needed to change careers, right? I was going to, the hot career at the time was pharmaceutical sales. That's a lot of my friends were making all this money. They're on the golf course all the time. I'm thinking, man, that's what I need to do. And I went to this career coach and he just kept it real with me. He was like, look, Eric, why in the world would someone hire you for pharmaceutical sales? Explain that to me. You don't
You're
have
like, it's my right. winning personality, damn
right.
it.
Right.
My ability good. To take long naps.
Exactly. And he was like, look, what is it that you really want to do? And I'm like, yeah, I want to make money. I want to. No, that's not what I asked you. What is it that you he just really challenged me? And I remember thinking like, you know, I don't know. I never thought about what I really wanted to do. I just thought about making money and, you know, having success in business and all of that.
Is that not also as a virtue of you being Black? Because I think that the way we were brought up as Asians, nobody cared what I wanted. But actually what they cared about was how successful could you be? Because as an immigrant, you maybe, I don't know if you were an immigrant or not, but being an immigrant, being in a kind of disadvantaged version of society, success was vital as opposed to feelings.
For me, I don't know if it was racial as much. I just think it's just that whole, you know, you're just kind of conditioned to, okay, you go to school, you get a job, you got to climb a corporate ladder. And, you know, and so, yeah, based off of that initial experience I told you about, yeah, I wanted to get there as fast as possible, not really thinking about, is this something, is this a calling? Is this, you know, what is it that I was really put here to do? And I wasn't really thinking about, you know, the impact and the message. I was thinking more about, let's make this money. But that just left me feeling unfulfilled. And I know I remember I would hit the snooze button. That was my thing, right?
Yeah.
I would, if the things that I had to get up at 4:30, snooze. Where now, for example, I don't ever hit the snooze button. Matter of fact, I can wake up without an alarm clock.
That's so wonderful. That's a massive change. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and you're going to tell me how you evolved into that place and whether there was any procrastination at all involved in managing that. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Good.
So, we're back. So, that is a big shift to make, because that is an emotional shift long before anything else. Because so how did you handle that? Were you married? How did your family handle it?
But at the time, I wasn't married when
that helps.
Was happening. So I went through this thing about, okay, like what am I really passionate about? Mm-hmm. And as I thought about it, it always came back to public speaking. Because when I was in corporate America, I had a position as a corporate trainer. And that's like the one position I really liked. I was like, man, you know what? People get paid to do this all the time. Man, this is great. Like, I always felt the best when I was in front of a group. And so then finally, I'm like, you know what? I need to be like an inspirational speaker. But then, yeah, I went through some procrastination. It took me 3 years from the time that I got the idea to the time I actually did anything. Because all of a sudden, it's like, okay, yeah, but what am I going to say that hasn't been said already? Who's going to pay me to come in and talk to their organization? I went through that for like 3 years. And then finally, I took the step of joining Toastmasters International.
Ooh, interesting.
Organization. Right. And that's what changed everything for me, because I really got to grow the passion of speaking. And what I found is that, like, all of my, you had to do these little 7-minute presentations. And all of my presentations were about time management. Don't waste your time. Don't procrastinate. And, you know, and at the time, I'm trying to find my niche, right? I was trying to find my lane. And I had a speech coach, and he's like, look, I just noticed every speech you do has something to do with time and procrastination. Sounds like that's the niche. And so from there, I did this. I would go to trade shows, and I would record my presentations and make an audio. And I just know the procrastination audio was just flying off the shelf.
Love that.
That was a sign for me.
People totally like, proof of concept.
I'm going to get one for my father. I'm going to get one from. So that was a sign that that's my lane. So that's really that was kind of the next step I took.
So you kind of proved it. Were you still working at this time, or had you stopped working?
No, I was still working. So I was kind of working the Toastmasters and working the job at the same time and all of that.
I love that. So do you think that procrastination is something that everybody struggles with?
To a degree. So there's a study, it's like the University of Calgary. They said that 95% of the population has some issue with procrastination. Now, I believe the other 5%, they just haven't gotten around to completing the survey.
Of course you would say that.
Right.
They're just procrastinating their intelligence.
They're putting it off. There you go. That's right. But no, most people have some issue with procrastination.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I find really interesting is that there are things that I love to work out. Do it a lot, really enjoy it, big fan. Try and make me run. We're not just procrastinating. I'm going to get a gun and shoot you because I hate it. It's right up there with being unable to nap. Not that I want to get emotional about it or anything, but you know. And so I think that there is a place here. Like with my clients, they're extremely successful, some men, but mainly extremely successful women who are trying to work out how to get better balance in their lives, who are trying to work out how to do things that they have to do. And another way of saying that is that you actually have to have a functioning home and work life, because without both of those, you're not going to, you know, you're just not going to function so well. But aren't there just things we like to do more than other things? Like, I hate cleaning. I hate it as much as I hate running. So I am never doing either of those two things. So where's the line between I hate this and I'm procrastinating and I don't want to do it?
Well, no, that could be a big part of it. If you don't like the task, chances are you're going to procrastinate. And you just have to remember that just because something has to be done, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it. You know, is there a way?
That's very good.
Yeah. I mean, is there a way that task can be outsourced? Is there somebody else that can do it? Is, you know, do you need to combine the task with something that you enjoy? So let's say you don't love washing the dishes, but can you be listening to an audio book that you love as you wash the dishes? So I think that helps a lot of people, because sometimes it's unavoidable. Sometimes you're the only one that has to do it, but it comes back to awareness. And it's okay if you don't like doing certain tasks. You know,
isn't that the starting point, though, to be able to actually just admit to yourself as well? Because women, for example, are crap at this, right? We do think we have to do everything and be everything to everyone. So isn't the starting point just going, okay, I actually have an issue with this. I don't like doing it. I don't want to do it. And so now what are we going to do about that?
Right, right. I mean, I think that's key. So it starts with awareness. Even like I work with solopreneurs, people that have, you know, they have a business, but it's just them. And I try to encourage them to get a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
For many, I can just speak for myself. I mean, it's a total game changer, because they can handle a lot of those little things that you really don't like doing and free you up to do the things that you're more passionate about.
Well, and I think that if we're doing the kind of work that you're saying people should do, which I actually think is a really good thing, because you kind of have to break stuff down, you learn so much more about yourself, right? And if you're learning more about yourself, then and at every level, you're winning.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's about awareness. That's the key.
You started with that. Why do you call it the what now, the what now, the discipline of what now? Why is it called that?
So the discipline of now, the book, it's just based off of the fact, my observations, right? I know people who are, you have people that get good results, then you have people that get great results. And a lot of times they know a lot of the same things. They have a similar know-how and talent and everything else. The difference between the good and the great is that that person that gets consistently great results, they can get themselves to do things whether they feel like it or not. You know, so it's not like they have this discipline of now. Like, yeah. I know this guy, we were in the National Speakers Association together, and he is just killing it. This guy is on, he has a TED talk with millions of views. He's,
love it.
You know, multimillionaire, young guy, he's under 35. But one thing I know about him is that if we go to a conference and he gets a good idea, let's say the conference is on Sunday, Monday morning, he has implemented it. Where there's other people that sit in the same room that get the same idea, and you talk to them and it's like, oh, no, I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Yeah. I agree.
That little subtle difference that they have, that person has the discipline of now is going to win over time.
Yeah, I can see that. Or you could be an entrepreneur and have 12 ideas a day and then screws you over too.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole shiny object syndrome thing. Whole nother book, right?
Absolutely.
I love this conversation. Thank you very much for joining me. Where can people find you?
Okay, so you can find me. You can go to my website, www.ericmtwiggs.com. You can pick up a copy of the book, The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. It's in paperback, it's in audio, and it's in ebook format.
I love that. Perfect. And we will have a link for that as well. So thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it. This was Eric M. Twiggs, our fantastic guest. I've got lots of great, interesting concepts on what to do with the children now. Well, no, not really. I'm lying. I'm just going to pray. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. This is Activate Yourself. And thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you listening in, and I will be with you in the next episode. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.